There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the bill we got? I mean, the bill we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile, Wednesday style. Glad to have you along. Phone number and the text line. Maybe many of you have committed this to memory or put it in your contacts. It's 343-0106 at 251 if you're new around here. Speaking of which, we got a story coming up later in the show. A new area code for Alabama. I remember the shock to the system when we've had these over the years. Remember, like, I think we were all... Weren't we all 205 at one point? And then it starts. So another one being, but that's later on in the show. So it's 251-343-0106 for a call or a text. And with the FM Talk 106.5 app, you can always leave us a talk back message. And I want to say this as we get started with the show today and bringing on our first guest. Before we do, though, so I just walked out to the truck to get something out of the cooler in the back of my truck, which, by the way, the bed of my truck. It's about 8,000 degrees right now. But I get something out of the back, and I hear the pipes. Car coming into the parking lot here. Now, this is like a work office area. This is the kind of place that, when I was a kid, would have been the most boring place on earth. It's just offices and people doing office stuff. And, you know, of course, we do have the opulent gold-gilded FM Talk 106.5 studios here. But it's like office stuff. Car comes in. Pipes are rolling, windows down, speakers pouring out, pour some sugar on me, just as loud as possible, roll it in and does a loop around the parking lot. It goes in somewhere. So America is still rocking. America is still alive. The 80s are still alive. We may have some questions about different parts of our republic, and we'll work those out on today's show. But let you know, there's some dude in a black Camaro with pipes rolling some Def Leppard through our office park. So always good. And with that, I bring on my friend Cameron Smith. Speaking of music, of course, I'm going to lead with this. Member of Wasted Bacon, their debut album, Thick Cut, to be due out here beginning of August. He also writes for the Tennessean. He's a thought provocateur on radio stations throughout the country and on your social medias. Does that sound good, Cameron? Is that pretty good? Is that good for an intro? Is that are you muted? Yeah, you got to unmute yourself, Cameron. As soon as you unmute yourself, we're talking. There you go. Nope. And we'll go for it again. And go. See, Cameron, I can see you. I can know you're there. Should we play some Leopard? Can we play some Def Leppard for hold music here while we wait for Cameron? There we go. Have we got him now? Y'all let me know what he's on. How about that? Greg said, are you blasting some Ozzy for bumper music? I did yesterday. I have some Auburn music's already in the mix. I mean, some Ozzy music's already in the mix. I may play some during the show today, but I did yesterday as well. It was pretty interesting, actually, to see the post that Leanna put up about Ozzy yesterday and the death of Ozzy Osbourne. The number of y'all that posted up your stories about it and all that on there. Interesting stuff. And I will... maybe we'll get to that here in a little bit. I'm hoping we get to Cameron. I don't know what is going on. So y'all let us know in there. If he makes it on, then we're good. All right. In the meantime, let's see. I mentioned this at the end of Jeff's show. I guess it's just only on days that end in Y. There's another day, another immigration raid here in Baldwin County. Baldwin County Public Schools Superintendent Eddie Tyler issued a statement this morning following an immigration raid at Loxley Elementary School at their construction site. This story from WKRG. Tyler said the school system is cooperating with federal investigators, has no reason to believe there is intentional wrongdoing. Now, this is, you know, of course, not long on the heels of what happened in Gulf Shores. And now we have immigration raid that's happened here at, let's see. There we go. We got him. We'll get back to that. All right, Cameron, without further delay, Cameron Smith. Hey, man.
Can you hear me now?
I can. I can. I don't know what was going on. I don't know what was going on, but maybe it was just the effect that I had. That guy rolled through the parking lot in the Camaro with the pipes, blasting out Pour Some Sugar on Me. Got me excited talking about your latest music, you know, your latest effort, and now going into the world of music. And then I couldn't hear you, so that's what happened.
Well, I'm going to have to come up with some way to honor Ozzy Osbourne. I played last night Iron Man for my son. He's like, "Who's Ozzy Osbourne?" I'm like, "Son, let me show you who Ozzy Osbourne is." And this was the, obviously, his music, growing up in a conservative Christian home, totally banned. The guy who's like literally saying, "I am the Prince of Darkness," biting the head off bats, pretty much Satan's spawn. And so obviously I, as a obedient young son, was like drawn to this music.
Of course.
Like, clearly I need to know what's going on. So, you know, big loss there. But yeah, man, some Def Leppard, a T-Top Thunderbird would have been even better.
It would have been much better. But I mean, I can only report on what I see. You know, if I'm writing a screenplay, yeah, they're maybe in that T-Top, but this is just what I saw. So, a lot to get to here, and maybe continuation of our conversation from last week. By the way, they've lost the Babylon Bee. Trump administration, you saw that? If they've lost the Babylon Bee, they've lost everything. So they've lost Babylon Bee. The Epstein files. Before we even start with this, if we commissioned a poll, okay, you've been in this world, if we commissioned a poll to Americans, how many Americans don't want to see the Epstein files released? What percentage, if we polled right now, Rasmussen, Fox News, whoever, what do you think that percentage is?
20%.
And I think it's 5. But okay, so the majority want them released, right?
Yeah, unequivocally.
They still think it's a big deal.
Yeah.
Okay, so now this is, and you spent the time in Washington. I mean, I'm looking at this. This is cover that Speaker Johnson gave to, so people didn't have to take a vote on it to release this. I mean, now they're leaving for summer break early, summer recess early, so they don't have to take a vote on it, but they are going to release it. Kind of bring us up to speed on what I think is a big screw up for the Trump administration.
Well, I'm getting sassy with Massey on this one.
Thomas Massey, big fan of Thomas Massey's.
Yeah, and I have been. I mean, he's a voice of fiscal reason, a guy who is willing to suffer the slings and arrows of Trump because of principle. Like, that, man, that's my love language right there of, hey, this is the right thing to do. Let's do it. And I'm going to read you, because I can't make this up. This is not Babylon Bee. This is not anything. And this tells you where we are. This is from Deputy Attorney General Todd Blanche. He posted on X. He started off strong. Justice demands courage. Sounds cool, right?
Mm-hmm.
For the first time, the Department of Justice is reaching out to Ghislaine Maxwell to ask, what did you know? At AG Pam Bondi's direction, I've contacted her counsel. I intend to meet with her soon. No one is above the law, and no lead is off limits. What the hell? I'm not sure I can say that on the radio, but, like, come on, Sean. This is, I am for the first time reaching out to figure out what this lady knew.
Now, it is similar to the farmer saying, well, the hen house has not only been raided, it's been caught on fire and burned down. That was last year. But now we get to the bottom of this. We're going to see what that dang fox is.
Yes. Wow. This is just the level of incompetency it takes to put out that tweet is unbelievable. Because you've done the song and dance about the phase one of the Epstein files. You haven't even talked to the person who was the fixer for Epstein and the only one that's left alive. And that's your big step that you're taking now because you're courageous. This is stupid. And anyone that is supportive of this and saying, well, see, look, they're doing a great job. No, they're not. This is not what they promised. This isn't what they campaigned on. Trump is trying to make this go away. I don't love conspiracies. You know that. I am always the one that's like, there's probably no there there. At this point, I don't care.
Not more than me. I'm the biggest conspiracy denier out there. But you've got me on this one. I'm on board. Yeah, load me on the boat here.
Yeah, Mike Johnson sent legislators home early to avoid a vote.
So I'm correct in that. I mean, that's what I read through in it, that he gave them cover so they didn't have to vote. Why?
Unequivocally.
Why? I mean, why wouldn't you want to? If you're the, why wouldn't you want to say, hell yeah, release this?
Yeah. This begs the question, Sean, which fuels the issue of you're so lacking in transparency here that you're willing to recess Congress early to avoid voting on transparency. I mean, the fact that any job has recess is ridiculous, but the idea that we're going to do more recess to avoid transparency is shameful, and Republicans should wear Mike Johnson out, wear Trump out. This is dumb.
It is dumb, and I try to look at it, too, just not even idealistically, pragmatically. Yeah, and of course, people on the left, I can look at the text line. I'm sure people are like, well, Trump's going to be implicated there. Who knows what was put in the document? I don't think if they had some smoking gun on Trump, you're telling me the Biden administration wouldn't have paraded it down Main Street. So I don't think it's that. But there's something that they don't want to release there.
But this
obfuscation is worse than whatever. I can't imagine what it would be in there that's worse than what they've done now to bring all the attention to it.
You can, because and I was thinking about this because I was with you for a long time of, well, if Biden had the goods here, he would have absolutely used it. What's the scenario where Biden would have had some indicting information, something that's really bad, and not used it? If there were other people in it who are Democrats, who are friendlies. And I think that this smells just like that.
It'd have to be a bunch of them, and they'd have to be high ranking for them, him not to trade them. Because in the world of politics, I'd be like, sorry, Menendez or whoever, you're going to go down here because we got a bigger whale here.
Yes, and either we're in that situation right now, which is what the conversation is just going to again and again and again, because that makes sense, right? Or this is the greatest unforced political error in recent memory, because there is no there, and you won't sort of open the door and say, hey, look, here's what's there. Here's what we have. We've redacted all the explicit images. We've protected the names of the victims, but here's everything we got. I mean, that's all you got to do here and say, hey, we promised transparency. We're delivering. Instead, it's business as usual. Hide the ball. Get over it. It's a nothing burger. And anybody that's telling me this five-dimensional, four-dimensional, however many dimensions of chess that we're playing, you need to stop it, because you're dumber than a box of rocks, because this is not that. Transparency in government is something that we desperately needed, and we're not getting it from the Trump administration right now.
On this thing, for sure. Let's say there was nothing. It's a nothing burger, okay? And I'm running PR for them. Then release the information and let the populace decide it for themselves, and you can reinforce, like, yeah, we thought so too, but here you go, here's what we got. People are like, yeah, there really isn't anything there. Versus hey, who's even talking about this? I mean, it's the crawfishing on this that has gotten all the attention.
Yes, and let's just assume there's no there. That this was, you know, a bad actor and his assistant, and that's it, right? And that they were the only people. Okay, cool. How have you only now, for the first time, talk to the assistant?
Like, I have no idea. I don't know why that hadn't been done ahead of time. You know,
and maybe that's the shame here, is that they made a big stink about it. They made a stink about transparency, and then they just didn't do anything. And they were embarrassed to show, hey, we haven't really done anything here. We didn't really take a close look at this. We just kind of were asleep at the wheel. I mean, I'm trying anything that's possible here to explain this, but the idea of having a deputy attorney general come out and say, we are so courageous because we're just now talking to the person that everyone on the planet thought you had already talked to a bunch, that's dumb. they should be fired. And I don't call for people's firings, but the fact that that's something that they put out in a serious way is go away. You need to go away. That is tone deaf, and they need to take away your X account.
Yeah, and truly, if they're circling the wagons here, if they said, okay, listen, we got to release this stuff. The pressure is too much. The people won't stop with it. You see some polling out there where independents that have voted for Trump have been dropping. And it's just one poll. But if they had to circle the wagon and say, we're going to land this plane somehow, you would maybe do this thing where now you're going to – but you wouldn't bring it – you wouldn't pump your fist that you were doing. You're setting yourself up to be mocked like we are. I mean, and to send the House home, you know, have Mike Johnson send the House home early so they don't have to take the test. I mean, be cool here. Even if you're screwing up, they're making it worse. They're pouring high octane on this stuff.
And I want to be real clear. I like Mike Johnson. I've worked with him when I worked on the Hill. He is a quality human. Right now, he's a bootlicker. Like, he is absolutely saying, and he gets up on stage and says, well, the Democrats do this and that. Mike, the reason you had to send everybody home is because the Republicans were going to vote for it. Like, that's
right.
Why.
They were going to do what the voters had said they wanted when they elected President Trump.
Right. And so he is just solely saying, Trump doesn't want to deal with this. I'm going to deny my Republican colleagues who want this transparency, the ability to vote on it, because I'm going to blame Democrats and provide cover for Trump. You know, that's shameful. I remember a time where Republicans said, we don't trust the political class. We don't want to worship politicians. And we have come full circle because we're as big government as they get if we can't even vote on transparency.
All right, move to the next subject here. Speaking of documents, the big, pretty big announcement. Can't believe it came out on a Friday, a news dump day. But when D&I Gabbard said, hey, I got all this stuff dealing with the Russia collusion, and I've got the receipts here, and we're going to put these things out, interesting to me. I mean, because what has been laid out here, people say, well, I knew it happened that way. But if they're documents to show it, this is a big deal for our republic.
Yeah. I mean, it seems to me like they had reason to believe, the Obama administration had reason to believe that there was malign activity by Russia here and that this was not a serious thing. And instead of saying, hey, that this stuff that they're putting out is just garbage, they kind of let it go. And they fomented it and they allowed it to become more of a thing. I mean, let's be honest. We can call it treason or whatever. I mean, this was just raw politics. This was absolutely, hey, will this damage a political opponent? Yeah. So, like,
but it wasn't somebody at the DNC doing it. It was somebody, it was some bodies that were working, you know, at the federal government.
Yeah, it was political appointees of the Obama administration that did it. And, you know, is that something that we should do? No. Should they have? You know, would I ever vote for somebody that played those type of games when there's information that they see that the truth would clarify something and realize that, hey, Russia's engaging in malign activities and they're the bad actor here? Yeah, I mean, and we've had hearings and we discovered that, hey, this was the thing. The truth is the Obama administration could have been much more vocal about it. They could have come out and been like, we see this. We know what it is. We're not going to give credence to it. And we need to find ways to ignore it. But it was harming their political opponent. So they decided not to. And that's the shame and tragedy in all of this. We do not have leadership that looks out for the best interest of all Americans and defends the truth. And that is a tragedy then. And frankly, when I see a lack of transparency now, I think it might be a tragedy now, too.
If you want to get more of this conversation, because I've been following you over on X or Twitter, how do they find you?
At D. Cameron Smith over on X. I would say join the conversation, but I'm kind of I'm fired up right now, so it's a little wild, so you might want to wait till it calms down.
Oh, they can handle it. I know they can handle it. So y'all hop in, put your mouthpiece in. It's not just – it's full pads. It's not just shorts and helmets practice. Go in there and mix it up, and then by next week we'll be talking about the launch of the new album from Wasted Bacon, okay?
Sounds good, sir.
All right, there goes Cameron Smith, and we're coming right back. More Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
At 12:35, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. At this segment brought to you by Blue Water Yacht Sales. And talk about my buddy Forrest over at Blue Water Yacht Sales. But I also need to talk about my buddy Daniel Robinson, Captain Daniel Robinson. You talk about brokerage boats, because I've talked about it on both sides. If you're looking for your next boat, looking for a nice high-end used boat, the people to go to Blue Water Yacht Sales. If you're selling that boat, Blue Water Yacht Sales for their brokerage services. And I've known Forrest and Daniel both a long time. We're just all boat people, right? They do it for a living. And they know how you get the best dollars for your boat. That's what's interesting. I told you years ago when Forrest said, well, you know, I want to start talking about our brokerage service. I'm like, Forrest, you know, I've like had more boats than I've had cars in my life. I started flipping boats when I was young. And he said, I said, why would I do that? Why would I? Because y'all got to make money. He said, listen, with the market we have, because they have people looking for boats all down the Atlantic coast, down through Florida, up the Gulf Coast of Florida, the whole way over to Texas. So they have people looking for probably the boat you're thinking about selling. So they're going to be able to get more for it than you would doing it on your own. And then you don't have to deal with taking people on the test ride, having people kick the tires, having them calling all the time, asking dumb questions. They take care of that. Plus, you bring the boat to them, they get it cleaned up, tuned up, everything perfect on it, so you get the top dollar for the boat. So if you're thinking about maybe after the rodeo, you're like, well, I'm going to maybe get my next boat, or I'm going to do without a boat a little bit. Whatever. If you're selling your boat, you want to get top dollar, and you don't want to deal with the headaches of it, Blue Water Yacht Sales. Online at bluewateryachtsales.net, and you get in touch with Forrest or Daniel or any of them and say, hey, I've got this boat. I'd like to bring it by and see what y'all think. And they can do that at the East I-65 Service Road location here in Mobile or at Orange Beach Marina. All right, to the text line here. Let me grab a couple. Let's see. All right. Ricky, I hadn't read one of your texts in a while. Ricky says, World War III is coming. World War III is the only way to bring in the CBDC, digital currency prison, because the people are waking up that the 1% that owns everything now. All right. So, Ricky, we appreciate that. Ricky did get my, he said Thomas Massey for president 2028. Well, I would love that, Ricky. Do you think if they were trying to shoot Trump and kill him, how fast would there be multiple guns coming from multiple rooftops for Thomas Massey? Larry from Daphne says, hey, Sean, regarding the Epstein files, I say release them all and burn it all to the ground. When 80% of the politicians, 40% of the bureaucrats, 60 to 80% of the lawyers, judges and doctors are on it, plus your billionaires, the entire government economy collapses, or it's just a big nothing burger. Either way, release the dang thing. Supermom says that Hunter Biden interview was something else. If brains were leather, he couldn't saddle a June bug. Okay, you win the country off for this week. Usually I'll have some better countryism, but right now I'm at a loss. That wins. Yeah, I mean, the Hunter Biden interview, if you listen to it, like when he's talking about the Democrats that failed, it's this deal where, I don't know if this ever happened, but like it's like your cousins and your kinfolk, and you're older now, though. You know, you're in your 40s, maybe 30s, let's say 40s and 50s, and get a couple beers in you, and you sit down and talk, and people just start dishing. Odd. I tell you what, Uncle So-and-so, he was a real idiot. Yeah, whatever it is. It all comes out. That's kind of what that rant from Hunter Biden was. When Hunter Biden was talking on that podcast, he was like, and another thing. This is Shane in Mobile said, if I lose my lawn guy, I'm telling that everyone is harboring illegals. You know, we get a lot of discussion around here on the ag side, on the construction side, but I'll say, if you see some of these people in big cities, and they want cheap labor too. Construction people want, you know, the cheap labor for construction. Ag wants it for, you know, doing ag work. And then people want to have, you know, fancy neighborhoods want to have lawn care services that are extremely cheap compared to what they'd have to pay, you know, legal citizens. So, all right, without further ado, the crowd goes wild. It's Erica Thomas from 1819news.com. Hello, Erica.
Howdy, Sean.
Howdy. I mentioned this at the beginning of the hour, and you're going to bring this in. Another, It was a big change for me all those years. I'm that old that when we started, maybe we had two, maybe it was 205 and 334 for the entire state of Alabama. And then they started adding in, this is pretty scary news here for those of us that don't like a whole bunch of change. There's going to be a new area code coming to Alabama.
Yeah, we've been knowing that there's going to be a new area code. This is going to be a large portion of central Alabama, from Selma to like Phoenix City. I mean, it spans across the state. And this won't start until next year, but the Public Service Commission is saying that people need to go ahead and start using the 10-digit dialing method in those areas, which a lot of people in Alabama already have to do that.
Yeah, we do here, and, yeah.
Yeah, and with a cell phone, really, I don't even notice I'm doing it.
Yeah, by the way,
I do remember,
we have a new area code, but I mean, we go, and this was a big deal back in the day when we had the old trim line phone in the house and, you know, landline, but people, right. You know, my phone's full of people that live here that have area codes from, you know, Washington, D.C., New York, uh-huh. South Carolina, Mississippi, Florida, and Alabama. You know, it's like, it doesn't matter anymore. It doesn't say, oh, that's where they live.
Well, I remember since I've had my cell phone, there's been an additional area code. And I do remember having to go back in all my contacts and update. So this is important, especially for people my age and up, you know, that might not realize you have to go in your phone and update your contacts or your call won't be made.
But it's not everybody in 334, right? I mean, it's not the entirety of the 334 area code, so it's only some of those people.
No, but even if you do have a 334 area code, you're still going to have to use a 10-digit dialing.
Sure.
That's kind of the thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You're talking about putting the area code in your contacts. Yeah, but
right.
I was wondering, like,
so
is it replacing, like, who's, I guess, you know, I remember when 205, we had to become 251 in this area. Well, it's, you know, you said here in the story, it's like Selma, Montgomery, Prattville, Pike Road, Tuskegee, Auburn, Opelika, Phoenix City, Eufaula, Dothan, Enterprise, Troy, Greenville, and a large area of central or southeast Alabama. Heck, that sounds like all of the 334 to me.
I know. Well, it will include all of that area. There will just be a new option because they're running out of 334 available numbers because there's so many people that live there now.
But there still will be 334s.
Yes.
This is very confusing to me. I don't like all this change.
I don't know why it's so... Okay, so now we have the 334 area code. So you have 10 numbers available. All right, well, that 11th person doesn't have a number available, so they're going to have to make a new area code.
Okay.
It's really simple. The most difficult part about this whole thing will be if you have contacts in your phone saved without the area code in that 334 area code, you're going to have to go in and update that and make sure you have that 10-digit dialing method down or your phone call will not be completed as dialed.
That's right, and then that means...
So that sounds just like the...
Very much so. And then when that happens, then senior members of our families call us the middle generation. That's in, we're the donut, right? We have the kids and we have the parents, thank God.
Right.
And they call us and say, what have they done? The Russians have hacked my phone. Sean, the Russians have hacked my phone. I'm like, well, I don't think so. Let me check what happened.
Yes, I can't call anybody. So that's all you got to do. Just go in there, update your contact, and you'll be good.
Right. A couple of stories I want to get to. First of all, as we talk about municipal elections, of course, it's all over the state. But down in our area, next month, everybody's looking at this. A debate here, and I heard Jeff talk about it. Our friend in common, Jeff Poor, is hosting the mayoral debate on August 12th for Orange Beach. And that's different. There's a lot of forums. There are not so many debates out there. So what does this mean?
Yeah, this is definitely going to be a debate. And this is something that I really wanted to do with 1819 News because I felt like we would be the people that could give these two candidates a very fair debate, extremely fair. You know, there's not going to be any gotcha moment with this. Jeff Poor is going to be the moderator, actually. So, you know, he knows both Orange Beach Mayor Tony Kinnon and Jeff Boyd, who is challenging Tony Kinnon. This race has already gotten heated behind the scenes. These two, you know, have had things said about them that they needed to clear up. that I think the tensions have been really high. I know that Tony Kennan is feeling pressure. I know that Jeff Boyd is feeling pressure. So we're going to put them on stage and kind of talk about what really matters. You know, the issues, the infrastructure, the growth, the transportation. What do they want to see with the future of the city? We're going to hear the things that really matter, the things that make them different, and why a voter may need to vote for one or the other. But it was kind of crazy because after I put the debate together, I instantly started getting calls. I think Jeff actually let the cat out of the bag on his show, on the Jeff Porter show. And so I started getting a lot of calls. And the interest is much more than just Orange Beach. There are people from all over Baldwin County, even some people in the Mobile area that want to come to this. Actually, I was at Tin Top Restaurant this weekend, and my waitress had no idea that I was the one that put this debate together. And she said, "Did you hear about the debate that's going down in Orange Beach?" And I said, "Yeah, I did. I've heard about it." And she said, "Well, me and my friends already got our tickets, and we're going to tailgate." We're going to tailgate.
They know how to party. They're going to tailgate for a mayoral debate.
Yes, on a Tuesday night. I mean, let's get together and tailgate. I was shocked. And she really had no idea. I ended up telling her, I said, "Well, actually, I'm the one that put the whole thing together." So,
Did you get free dinner or anything, discount?
No, I didn't. You know, when she comes there, she might get some free food or something. I don't know. I might say hey to her and bring her a water.
Yeah,
I'd work. Might need it if they're tailgating out of the debate.
Yeah, I'd just work any angle to get free food at Tin Top going forward. Also, we're talking about this story, and I'm going to transition after the story to another one. I want to tell people to read. This one, former Pardons Board Chair Lee, and how do I say it? Gwathney? Is it Gwathney?
I've been saying Gwathney, I'm not really sure. I haven't heard how she says it. I've heard other people say Gwathney, it's just been said all kinds of ways.
It's going to be... chairing to fight child porn, a new role with the AG's office. Now, this is the story before was this was, you know, she was head of Alabama Pardons and Paroles. She didn't get reappointed by Governor Ivey, who selected Hal Nash. But now she's got this job. This job is within the Attorney General's office. What is?
Yeah, so Steve Marshall was on the Jeff Porter show yesterday, and he announced that he was going to bring her back to the AG's office to kind of head up the fight against child pornography in the state. He said, you know, the AG's office works hard to protect children, and she's going to be able to help with that. And Steve Marshall was one of several, you know, higher-up law enforcement officials that had asked for Ivy to reappoint her, Gwathney. But she didn't, and so now A.G. Marshall said, well, you know, the state's loss there is a gain over here with the state attorney general's office because they really feel like she's been a remarkable prosecutor and she's done a great job. So it was really good news for her and A.G. Marshall.
But I hope she's successful in that, yeah. And maybe there's – because, I mean, I think – I look at our local sheriff's departments that work on these dirt bags, and they do a great job. Maybe there's something from a state role that can reinforce that. I'm not sure. And that's why I'm saying I'm going to transition. I don't have the heart. I don't have the heart to talk about this story with you. But people need to look at this over at 1819news.com. When this story out of Bibb County, when I read this, I'm not naive. I know horrible things, and there are evil humans. There are bad people that are just circumstantial, and then there's a few percent that are evil. When I read this story, I wanted to puke and punch somebody at the same time. Mm-hmm. This thing out of Bibb County, y'all, like I said, I can't deal with it on there. Y'all got to go read it. But it's is there any way that is there any level below the jail to put these people in?
Well, let's remember they are
innocent until proven guilty. Yeah, but the son of a bitch admitted to doing it. One of them did.
Yeah. So I will just kind of sum it up really quick, and I will tell you the good news is there's been a fourth arrest today.
Good.
So, but these four people are accused of kidnapping, rape, and sodomy, and this is small children that
held in like a dungeon under a house, y'all.
It was a storm shelter. They call it underground bunker. And this was near Brent, Alabama. And there's four people charged, and we don't really know their roles, but we know that one person owned the property. One person is accused of actually going and finding people that would pay him $200 to go, victimize these children. The youngest was 2 years old, and the age range up to 10 years old. So these are small children. I really don't know how you can find a network of those kind of people.
Those questions came to mind. I got to get through just the discussion to ask the exact question. And where these children, where were they trafficked from, and where were their families, and then how did they advertise to people they had? I'm slack. This is this story. I knew things like this happened, but to read it and happen here in Alabama at this level, I don't have words.
Well, I think these kind of things happen a lot more than people realize.
I think you're right. I think you're right.
Especially with the increase of illegal immigration and all these people that are able to kind of fly under the radar. You know, there's children all across the United States right now that we have no idea where they are because they were brought to the United States unaccompanied without their parents. And we just absolutely lose any sight of them. Now, the prosecutors in this particular case have not said that that is what happened here, but I just really wouldn't be surprised if some of these children, were related to illegal immigrants, or at least were brought here by illegal immigrants. And that's just one of the reasons, as a nation, we have to really pay attention to, who we let over here and who we allow to be to stay in the United States. And when it comes to children, there's got to be something done on that front. And I will tell you that things have happened to children in Baldwin County who came here from other countries. And these are things that I've talked to agents myself about. People literally buy children here.
And that's the thing, that I'm not naive, but this is exactly what you said. I mean, when innocent until proven guilty in this case, but it is a quid pro quo by the child, by a human being.
Yes, and that's exactly what they were doing. According to prosecutors, these four people were in cahoots and able to help each other make this happen. And it really is sick. It's sickening. And you really ask yourself, why would God allow this to happen? You know, this is one of those things where you're like, why, God? Why do you let this happen? And I'll never know the answer to that, and I'll never understand it. The next step will be, we'll see these people in court. We'll figure out what their roles were and figure out what they're accused of doing even further. We know that they drugged the children and tied them to a bed. There was a pole in this room where they were tied to. So, I mean, it really is very bad. But anybody that wants to see what these people look like, go to 1819news.com.
Yep.
And then at 2 o'clock, we'll have the fourth person that was just arrested. We'll post his mugshot, too.
Thank you for doing that. And thank you for talking about it so I didn't have to. Erica Thomas, we'll talk again next week.
Thank you. God bless.
All right. There goes Erica Thomas. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
All right. You can also use that same phone number to text. And we'll get to some of these texts here before the news. And coming up next hour, John Young joins me. We'll get to more of your calls as well. Yeah, I just... Backstrap Stacker says, I'll volunteer to be on the firing squad for these animals. I'll probably join you, and I'll bring the ammo. Unnamed texter here says, now I know this doesn't fix it, but best believe there are people waiting on them in prison. They love to take these type of people and use them for certain things. Here's where I am. I am like Erica. I believe in innocent until proven guilty, but this one person admitted to some of the stuff already. You got to read. I'm not going to talk about the story. And I'm not naive that these. It's the organization of it, the matter of fact organization of it that'll just. I don't know. It's just hug your babies. Hug your babies. That's all I can say. Which makes my teenagers uncomfortable. Like, come here. But hug your babies. Let's see. This is unnamed texter. Said, so rich that 1819 News found it newsworthy to talk about a small town mayor's personal issues in North Alabama. I think it's East Central, right? But they are just focusing on the real issues in Orange Beach. I guess the cross-dressing is sexier than the garden variety domestic violence. Well, here's the thing, texter. In a debate, right, since it's not just straightforward, the opponent can bring that up. So, I mean, unless he sets some rule about it that I don't know. But, I mean, they could bring that up. Let's see. Unnamed texter said, if we have term limits in Congress, we would not have this discussion. Buddy says, City of Atlanta has 5 different area codes. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Well, that makes me think about that song, you know. Girls in different area codes, right?
Yeah.
I'm an Atlanta rapper. Let's see.
Hey!
Michael says, do you think there's a way to get a group together to take the old Pritchard Stadium stands offshore? They'd make an awesome reef. You get us the permit, I'll get a truck, and we'll get a ferry, and we'll do it.